If you give an ear to these words I sing, compassion for the lost will grow strong. As I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their souls and they don't know. The Bible says they're walking in darkness. They cannot see the road that they're on. Broad and it entices them with pleasures, and further down that road they are drawn. And as I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their souls, they don't know. Day we have is one more chance to snatch a soul from entering hell. But don't you know these evil days are numbered? So get to work and do your job well. And as I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. Now you've heard this message that was on my heart. Now don't forget we haven't much time. The vineyard tried to fill this white, the workers are few, and the harvest time is now in its prime. As I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their souls, they don't know. They're soon to lose their souls.
Of creation, God ended his work after 6 days, and he rested on the seventh day. At that time, he blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, made it holy. The fourth commandment, written in stone by the finger of God, states that the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord and instructs us to rest on that day. The only honest conclusion that can be drawn is that Sunday, the first day of the week, cannot possibly be the Sabbath. Could the days of the week have been changed over time? Is the time from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown really the seventh day? A careful study of chronology reveals that even though calendar changes have occurred, the order of the days of the week have stayed the same. The Julian calendar, originating in 46 BC, was replaced with the Gregorian calendar in 1582. What took place is that 10 days were taken from the number of the days in the month, not the number of the days in the week. Friday, October 5th, became Friday, October 15th. Calendar changes did not alter the days of the week, or the order of the days. One must also remember that it is only necessary to check the calendars back to the time of Christ. He certainly knew which day the Sabbath was, for it was Jesus who created all things and instituted the observance of the Sabbath day. Yes, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts.
For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Welcome aboard. We're honored to be here tonight with Pastor Dan and Linda Catlin of Messiah's Branch, theprophecyhour.com. Would you all like to open us up in prayer tonight?
Yes, sir. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, we pray, Father, I just pray that this radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father. I also pray for all the families and the relatives and all the people in America and across the world that are suffering from the losses that happened on 9/11 a long time ago. So just bless us tonight, Father, so we can bless the people and in turn bless you. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen.
And amen.
You know, I say amen to that. Brother Dan, the mic is yours.
Well, I don't know if I want to do that, but I'll tell you, how about we're going to, instead of wait until the end, we're going to talk a little bit about the Mission Church at the first of this program tonight.
Excellent.
Let's start off with this. Now, is it okay that I say that a certain party sponsored a dinner over there?
Hey, that's awesome.
Okay. All right. Well, Omega Man, we appreciate the dinner that you sponsored for my wife's birthday, and I'll turn it right on over to her and let her tell you all about what she did and created and gave out and all that stuff. So,
and happy birthday to you.
We had homemade chicken tacos and cupcakes and ice cream, and my son bought Pepsi, so they even got a Pepsi. And we had a party.
Well, and they got cupcakes and ice cream.
And they actually sang happy birthday to me.
Yeah,
wow.
That too. You know, but this was on your birthday.
Yeah,
you know,
it was my birthday.
Most people would want to take a vacation on their birthday. So why would you go there? I mean, you know.
Because that's my life.
That's your life.
I would be lost if I didn't have people to take care of.
You would be lost.
I just wouldn't be me, no.
You just wouldn't be you. So that's a great blessing. So coming from that, we'll go to a little different subject. In one, we talked about it on radio, and you wasn't real sure you wanted to talk about it tonight, but I do want to talk about it because, you know, we serve the Father in a very, very bad part of town, and people say, well, what's going on there all the time? So this was this wasn't on your birthday. This was what, the Friday before.
Yeah.
So this was the Friday before your birthday. Well, naturally, you know, we had to get tags for the bus, and it was the last day. I don't know, Shannon, if you've ever went to a tag office on the last day before your tags expire. Well, the place is just completely super packed. I mean,
it was only 300 minutes.
Yeah. They said I had to wait 300 minutes, and I don't know if that actually played out in the 300 minutes, but it was
pretty close, because when you texted me and said 300 minutes, I did it up, and I said, oh, well, that's about 5 o'clock, and you called about 5:30 and said, I just walked out.
Yeah, and I did get to talk to a man from Morocco through part of that, and I didn't bother to ask him if he was in the country legally, illegally, or whatever, but he gave me some interesting facts about Morocco. Which was interesting. But so that's where I'd spent the day, which left my wife over there with this helper, God bless her, Lynn, that's helped out a few times at the church. And so I'll let you take it from there. Was there anything unusual? Well, what happened that
day? There's always something unusual on the size, Brent. That's a silly question.
Now, wait a minute. See,
that day it was,
okay, but
really unusual.
Let me say this, though. To me, though, there's so many, and you even said it, well, there's always something unusual. Well, if unusual happens all the time, isn't that become usual?
It's usually unusual, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, so let's go.
Anyway, that day I had went into the office to hand out hygiene products, and I got all done with that and headed back in the kitchen, and Lynn said, there's a woman running around out there with no clothes on. And I said, what? She said, yeah. She said she got robbed. Somebody took all of her stuff. And I said, well, where is she? And she said, I don't know. So I went around looking and asking. Nobody knew where she was. Nobody knew. But she evidently knew her name. So she started calling out her name while she's come down the hall from the bathroom. And sure enough, all she had on was a Victoria's Secret lingerie thing that, yeah, you might as well have said nothing. But I said, get in that closet and get a t-shirt. And she said, okay. She was trying to get on one of the, it was probably a eighth grade prom dress, and she had it up, couldn't get it up over her hips, and I'm like, take that off and go in there and get a t-shirt. I'll go in the office and see if we got sweats. Because we usually try to keep sweats that go universal, man or woman, in an emergency. So there, but all I could find was boxers. But anyway, so she got, it looked like she had a t-shirt and shorts on. Let me tell you, it was a lot more pleasant looking than nothing.
Okay, well, and for that record, now she's actually somebody that lived in a motel across the street, right?
Yes, and I said, how did they rob you? She said, they put a card in the door and unlocked the door. And I'm like, you mean this hotel doesn't have any better security than this? But you got to remember, it's run down, the cheapest. Cost probably, what, $28 a night to stay there?
No, they've actually up to, it's about 30, it's almost 40 bucks a night now.
There's no security, there's boarded up windows, and it's, yeah, but anyway, evidently she said they came in the door and took everything, and I'm like, how'd they get your clothes off? And she just went above it, I don't know, and I just forgot about it, and she was dressed then, so I was like, okay, well.
And I gave her
a bag of products, and we didn't have toilet paper this month. They didn't have any, but I gave her a roll out of the bathroom, and I said, you better hide this, so if they break in again, they can't steal. At least you'll have toilet paper.
Yeah. Well, and but, you know, here's really the point, you know, is that that is what that, you know what I'm saying, the neighborhood. We help the homeless and poor. There's anything could walk in the door at any
moment.
And
so if they're in the motel, usually they're poor.
Right.
Because if they were homeless, they wouldn't be affording a motel room.
Right. But some of them do. Now, what some of them do is because they don't, they can't stretch their checks.
They say in the first week.
First 2 weeks.
And that would have been the first week because my birthday was September 3rd. So it would have been, yeah.
Right. Yeah. And it could have, point being is some of the homeless will stay over there for the first 2 weeks. And then after that, they don't have enough money to stay. But so that was one example. So, okay, we can't call it a victimless crime, but it was basically a non-violent crime, so to speak. But that wasn't all you dealt with for that day.
The same motel.
Tell them about that.
There's a woman that lives right next door to us that is always bringing people that need prayer and bringing them to me or Pastor Dan. She come running in and said, where's Pastor Dan? Where's Pastor Dan? I said, he's getting tagged. Why, what's the matter? She says, I got a teenage guy, he needs prayer. There's been a robbery. And I'm like, what? She said, yeah, he's over at the trail. There's been a robbery. They're waiting for backup and on and on. And I'm like, well, Darcy, it didn't happen here. And I'm by myself here. I can't really deal with it right now. So, you know, and she brought him up to the kitchen door and said, tell her what happened. Tell her what happened. And he was all embarrassed, you know. And I'm like, well, he really needs to wait and talk to Pastor Dan. And she said, no, she told him, he goes, oh, I don't know what happened. It was dark. There was just two of them, and they were both black, and it was just dark. And she said, turned him around. She said, he's hurting on his bottom. And I'm like, oh, Darcy. And he was just embarrassed and rolled his eyes. And I said, well, he needs to really wait and talk to Pastor Dan, but he really needs to call police and make a police report. If the police are over there, he needs to be over there and be talking to the police is what he needs to be doing.
So, in short, he was raped by two black men, and he's 19 years old. Think that doesn't make a scar for life. So, you know, this is where the father put us. And as we talked about before, we said that even the homeless want out of this neighborhood by dark, you know, by evening and dark, or, you know, and that time of the evening when all the crazies come out on the street. Because they aren't as much, you know, out on the street in the daytime, you know, with all the traffic.
Right. But after dark, you can tell what the group of people are. They're all messed up and speeded up, and their eyes are popping out of their head, and they're running around. Yeah, you don't want to be out after dark. It's hard telling who you run into.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, that's where we're at, and that's what we serve. So any thoughts about any of that, Shannon?
You know, I just think that's horrible. But that is the reality.
Which part? The girl or the guy?
Well, all
I'm
of
joking.
Them. Good grief. I'm just wondering, how did she manage? She had to have went out in the 90 across the street. Good grief.
Well, wait a minute.
This was like around 2:30 in the afternoon, and on Broadway, one of the busiest streets in Wichita. And, yeah, she had to cross the street, go at least a block. It's at least one block to our back door, in the back door. And we were we probably had 40, 50 people in there, and most of them men.
Yeah,
exactly.
And, but see, it's so unusually normed that a lot of people don't blink about it. If a cop had drove down the street, yes, you would have been arrested, absolutely.
Yeah, because it is also Prostitute Alley.
Okay,
of course,
we'll comment.
I'm not laughing at what happened to her. I was laughing at a memory I just had one time when I had the studio back in Gainesville where I was living. I lived in my office in a back room. And I had a shower there in a bathroom, but I had no laundry facility, so I would go up to the laundromat. And I'd take my clothes up there and drop them off, had lunch, come back, and someone had stole my underwear.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
They were drying. I guess they needed them more than me. Now, they were nice
right.
underwear, too. They got them. But, folks, that's terrible. But these things happen. What's even worse, though, is the young man. He was raped. That shows you the reality of the life on the street. It's
right.
it's bad enough to have to try to survive outdoors. But then you got predators. And I think we mentioned this last time. How do you sleep out there when you try to get some shut-eye? Someone might try and stab you or hit you over the head, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And let's go with this, too. You know, this is also the neighborhood is what I'm talking about. But the point is that it's from – this is from – this guy wasn't on the street. It was from at the motel.
He was in the motel,
too.
Yeah, he's in the motel right across the street
right.
where it happened.
That's one of the main reasons I brought this up, you know. We do, the hotels around there, we get, you know, a lot of the people from the hotels come over and, you know, they eat or they get food or first aid
the
or
houses
Bible.
Get broke into, the motel rooms get broke into right down the street of a half a block and down the street another half a block. A guy got shot and killed right there on St. Francis Street. And then right after they opened the Quick Trip, which is a block and a half from us on the same side of the street, they got robbed and somebody got killed at the ATM, stabbed at the ATM trying to rob somebody with the ATM getting the money out. So it's
you
terrible.
Know,
yeah.
And that leads me to another point. We hear about men raping men in prison, and that seems to be the norm. I call a man raping another man a homosexual act. What else can we say
yeah.
about it? And you can say, well, I don't have access to a woman in prison, so I raped a man. That's what you're doing. You're homosexual if you're raping another man. So these two men had a homosexual spirit in it. What else can we call that you would go up and rape a man? I mean,
yeah.
right.
you know, and if I said that to a man, do you have sex with other men? Absolutely not. Then why are you doing it in prison? What changed about you? It's wicked to the core. I mean, we've got prisons full of homosexuals, and they have no problem raping you. This is a demonic spirit. And now we got people on the streets that are free, and they're saying, this is who I am. I'm an LGBTQ whatever. No, you got demons in you. You're demon-possessed and or you're schizophrenic because God did not create man to have sex with men and women with women and for people to cross dress and change their sex. We got a demon problem is what we got, brother and sister Catlin. And
yeah.
It's not safe in prison. It's not safe on the streets. Let me give it back to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And there is a larger point there. You know, while this is criminal acts and, you know, the poor woman, you know, now I don't know. I barely got a look at her. All I know is she said, oh, I bumped into her as I was coming back from the tag office. And she says, you're what? She comes running, going by me and said, your wife's the greatest person in the world. And I thought, okay, what'd she do today? You know, but my point is, so I really don't know much about that woman. I didn't even really take a good look at her. But the point is, you know, we're a place for help. Of all sorts of things, but you know, I don't know what she was into, you know, why she was at that particular motel, you know what I'm saying? You know, she could have been one of the prostitutes because some prostitutes also live across the street. And also though, there are some people that live in those cheaper motels.
I remember
that there's nothing wrong with them at all. What?
The third thing just came to me.
What was it?
The woman in the bathroom with the man.
Oh, well then that happened a different day.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, but go ahead and tell them.
And Darcy came and got me. And said,
yeah, that was just the other
There's
day.
A man and a woman in the bathroom, and I went back there and knocked on the door. And she said, I'm in here by myself. And Darcy said, yeah, the man just came out. And so she opened the door, and she was sitting on the toilet, and she
wow.
said she needed a feminine product. I said, okay, Darcy, get it for her so she can get out of there. Well, she had money in her hand, and then Darcy said, you need to tell Pastor Dan she just did a trick in that bathroom. She just, and she had the money in her hand, so, you know. Oh,
yeah.
My gosh, this is a church. I couldn't believe it. I was just flabbergasted.
Well, you know, I have barred that one. I know the woman that you're talking about, and she was the one that gave you a headscarf for your birthday.
Yeah.
And but, you know, but here's the point, you know, why I wasn't there and caught her red-handed. I will keep an eye on her. And I've got a couple of strong witnesses. Now, you know, at this far after the fact, I can't just go up and bar her. But if she does any, I will have a talk with her about it. And, you know, we'll see. But if I catch her, then they'll get barred. But here's one thing about, unless it's violence, you know, out and out violence to another person or out and out theft that you can catch. You know, when we bar people for different things, they get a chance. It's the same as salvation. If you repent, you truly repent, and they want to come back, then I usually give them another chance. You know, that helps teach them salvation, you know, because it works the same way. And so, you know, that by adding that forgiveness into the factor, I've seen a lot of people that I have barred many times and they came back. But finally, when it was time for that miracle prayer and wanted some counseling on what to do, and they asked for that miracle prayer, they got it. They got a miracle, and they're no longer in the street.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, I praise God for what y'all are doing. Y'all are helping people that experience problems just like we're talking about this week, folks. It's going on out there. And it had been worse for them if they had nowhere to go, no refuge. Thank God for Pastor Dan and Linda Catlin and Messiah's Branch for being there to help people. Where else would they go, folks? That's horrible. What's going on out there? But I'll show you, that's sin in the world.
Yeah.
There's worse things going on. Look at all the stuff that has yet to be uncovered from Epstein, you know, involving children. This stuff is disgusting, as someone said in the chat room, but we can't be silent about it, nor can we coddle it in saying this is an acceptable lifestyle. This is not acceptable.
In neighborhood, children were fished right off the street.
It's unacceptable, folks. You know, you're right. Over in India, they'll grab kids right off the street, sell them into sexual slavery, sometimes blind them.
Yeah, and not to diminish that, but in the same neighborhood, they steal children right off the street.
Oh, yeah, that 13-year-old girl disappeared.
Yeah,
and then they found her in a motel room about three blocks down the street from the mission with a 50-some-year-old man and took her back home. And another week later, a sex trafficking ring had possession of her that they busted on two blocks over, three blocks down.
Right. Let's go with this, too. You know, right here in this neighborhood that we're at. Now, there are also people. Now, while there's all this sin and things going on, I mean, you know, I got a couple of guys that are schizophrenic, but they keep it together pretty much. But they both think that they're angels, you know.
Yeah, I know one of them you're talking about. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they both think that they're angels. But while I say they're harmless for the moment, that could switch at any time. And, you know, you can't really talk them out of it. But here's what. They ask for prayer, you know. And this one, and that's the one that was screaming in the parking lot.
I know
that
who
one
you're
night.
Talking
yeah.
about. Yeah, he told
dark-headed
me
he's
met and shook hands with Lucifer and Gabriel and a couple
that
other
one.
Ones. Yeah,
and you know, by him asking for prayer because he wanted to go to work, allowed me to pray for him against these demonic spirits, you know, that were in him, and he was better for a while. And so, you know, we help people like that. But in the same light, too, in the same neighborhood, there are people that are just flat poor that rent from there because they're broke. And so there's nothing wrong with them, so to speak, that, except they've got a minimum wage job, and that's all they can do, and that's all they can afford, because, you know, the neighborhood in itself has some cheap housing in it.
Yeah, and it's still not cheap. It's like $300-$400, but any other place in Wichita sticks to $1,000 or $1,200. So yeah, they're, I mean, where it's still $200 or $300, $300-$400, that it's the cheapest rents in Wichita.
Right, like Darcy. Now, you know, Darcy's, 60.
She's 64, I think, ain't she?
60-something. Anyway,
yeah,
that's the girl that lives next door that brings us people to pray on. And my only real problem I have with Darcy is that she can't get the picture to call me pastor. She's Catholic, because she always calls me father. And I say, I'm not a father. I am pastor. And, finally, I just basically give up. So anyway, but she always brings us people to pray for, and that's a blessing. But believe me, she can find them. She can find them and bring them in. But the point is there's a lot of people where we're at that it's, they're just simply poor, period. They're not demonic or anything. They're just poor, but it is all mixed in. But these examples, let's go back to what you're saying. Listen to these examples. We're talking about homosexual rapists. We're talking about people that are schizophrenic and think that they're angels and so forth. And it is demon possession, and there is demon, the demons are going crazy right now.
Yeah.
Look at it. It's all out in the LBGQ and add 10 other things to it. I mean, in the United Kingdom, they're even saying, teaching in school, boys can have periods too, because they don't want to upset the girls. Well, that makes no sense. It does make sense, because we're in that time of the end. And in that time of the end, things that are right are going to be wrong, and the wrong's going to be right. That's where we're at, Shannon. Back to you for a minute.
It's the truth, folks. We need Jesus Christ and his deliverance ministry. Because we've got a nation,
amen,
that's losing its mind. And then, of course, with the legalization of weed in many places, that just opens up the floodgates for more demons. And then you got the New World Order that wants to take guns away from America. So they're getting people stoned or put on psychotropic drugs or disarming them. Now the invasion is next, if it's not stopped, folks. That's what the enemy will do. Before it launches an invasion, it will try to weaken its enemy. And if it can just walk on in with no resistance, oh, that makes their job easy. And that's what the devil wants, no resistance. There's a message in this. The Word of God says, submit to God, resist the devil, and the devil's going to flee. We got to begin to resist the enemy. And, there was a time where sodomy was an official crime that carried jail time. What changed? It used to be in the DMS, DPM, or whatever they called it, that psychological manual.
Yeah, that's the Bible.
Manual.
That's the psychology. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
That's right.
That's the psychology Bible.
That's right. They used to call this a mental illness. Now it's acceptable. In fact, the movement is to try to flip the script. And if you're not living in a perverted lifestyle, you're the odd one. But folks,
right.
God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he calls homosexuality a sin, as there are other sins that will put you in hell if you don't repent. The good news is you can repent if you're in this lifestyle tonight. But we cannot go and say this is normal, this is acceptable. And I've even been told that there are, leading figures in the church that have went to homosexual weddings. I haven't confirmed that yet. But if that's the case, how could you condone that? Knowing what homosexuals do, raping each other, that's what it is, folks. This is not normal. It's perversion. It's the work of demons. And we need to speak up and take a stance against it. Otherwise, the generations come up, they're going to think that's normal. And then someone's going to go pray on them. Back to you.
Okay, sorry. And that's what they're teaching. They're trying to teach in school. In fact, in a school, there's a school in California that is even teaching that pedophilia is just another form of love. They've already started it, and so this all offensive transgender movement is, and it's focused on you know, the children. They want to bring the, they brainwash the children into schools. That's what the, you know, that quality-based education is that Obama brought in. In other words, made them okay to teach anything they wanted. And while we're trying to get that quality-based education out, it still took root because the states are still under their own jurisdictions to decide what's right in a school, because that's the way that it's supposed to be. You know, the states are mostly supposed to govern themselves. So, the point is, so whenever the more liberal the city, the more liberal that the teachers are, and that's what they're doing. But actuality, you know, the liberals try to say that, you know, they try to come across and say that, well, you know, we believe in letting everybody speak and all that. Well, that's a lie. They just say that they're tolerant until it's somebody that opposes them. The real goal of the LGBTQ movement, which, of course, Satan's behind it, is to get rid of Christianity.
Yes.
Because if they don't allow live and let live. I mean, look at the bakers and the people that they single out. They know fully well where a Christian baker's at, and they go there to try to get them to make a cake or whatever, to try to get them to break a law, to make them go broke. You know,
fighting attorney fees and stuff, trying to fight their...
Right, and some of them can't even fight, you know, can't afford to fight it. So either they shut down or they go against their belief and they do...
The cake.
They do the cake. And so it's a blatant attack on Christianity. You know, what I'm seeing here, if America isn't the mystery Babylon, all around me, I am seeing America turning into Sodom, Gomorrah, and Babylon, and I know the rest of the world is bad, but what I'm seeing right in front of me in this country that I grew up in, that was supposed to be, that was a Christian country, is in this problem. But we got to this problem because of the church. Why we got into this problem, because the church,
the falling away from
people say there has to be a falling away first. Come look at America, come be in America, you'll see the falling away first. It's happening right here when you have pastors that will say everything's okay, and there are pastors that teach that you can do any kind of sin that you want, you're going to be forgiven once you're saved, you're always saved. You know, nobody can take your salvation. I agree, nobody can take your salvation, but you can sure throw it away yourself. You cannot continue on in sin once you have the knowledge of the truth. If you do, there remains no sacrifice for your sins. And that is right in the New Testament. So no sacrifice for your sins. What's the sacrifice for your sin? Yeshua. He's the sacrifice for your sins.
Yes.
So you can lose your salvation. Are you once saved? Or you're not that, are
no,
you?
No, sir, I'm not. You know, it says we must endure till the end to be saved. And you know what? Here's the deal. We can make it to the finish line. But if we die in our sin, we're not going to make it in, because sin will not be allowed into heaven. In fact, there's a verse that talks about, you know, someone who... went in the beginning following the Lord, and at the end committed sin and died of their sin. It says all the good that they've done will not be remembered. And the narrative is, well, is that fair, God? And God says, is it fair what you're doing to me? You know, we shouldn't try to find out how close we can flirt with sin and still make it into heaven. Because folks, maybe you repent tomorrow and be forgiven, but what if you don't live till tomorrow? But I tell you what, here's where it's went wrong. While there is forgiveness, you know, true forgiveness means there should be some repentance as part of it. And we need to make a turn. We cannot continue living in the sin, or we're fooling ourselves. If we do, we're going to die and bust hell wide open. He that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. And, you know, you can look in the Word and... You know, there's places Jesus says he'll take our name out of the book, you know, if we don't watch it. And the real warning is to the lukewarm tonight. You know, those that are not saved, they're already lost. But Jesus says before he comes back, there's going to be a great falling away. Now, who are those? Those that are lost? No, there's nothing for them to fall away to. This is talking about lukewarm Christians who didn't count the cost, They don't mean business with the Lord. They have no fruit in all likelihood, and they're not rooted in Jesus. When persecution, tribulation, suffering come for the cause of Christ, they get offended. Just like in the parable of the sower, they get offended, and they fall away. They don't make it. And, you know, there were many that fell away in Jesus' time at some hard sayings, and they no longer walked with him. Where did they go? You're going to hell, folks. Hell's, hell's real. And the point I'm making here is we need to be ready to meet Jesus at all times, repent of our sins, be quick to do it. And this last thing I want to make on this comment, because this is a big topic you just brought up, and that is there are some preaching that, again, once you come to Christ, he's already forgiven us of every sin we ever commit. So I don't need to repent anymore. Come on, folks, that's just plain foolishness. The Word of God will not back that up. It will not back that up. We cannot continue in sin. Some would say, well, I'm living in sin, but I received Jesus, so he's already forgiven me for the fornication that I plan to commit tonight. I mean, come on. This is doctrines of demons. Let me give it back to you.
Listen to what I just said. I said, if you sin willfully after you receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for your sin. After you receive the knowledge. When you receive the knowledge of the truth, what do? You become saved, right?
Yes.
And so, there's where it falls at. There's another one. I just can't find the scripture right now, but let's go with this. Yeshua is talking, and he says, in that day, he said, some will come to him, and he'll get rid of them. He'll say, get away from me. And they'll say, well, why? You know, we cast out demons in your name, that we did all these different things in your name. And I'm paraphrasing. They said to him, we do all these things in your name. And, you know, how can you cast us out? He said, get away from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Well, let's look at the word iniquity. What is the word iniquity? If you look up the word iniquity, and you do this with the New Testament, and I prefer you use the King James Version, because
yes.
I don't know what's in the other one, but I know this is in the King James Version. But the point is, you look up the word iniquity, and then you look, and it says, iniquity means being without law. Now, if you look up the word...
Luke 13:27.
Hey,
you're
okay,
good.
Yeah, here it is, right here. I'm gonna give it to you. Okay, well, I'm going to just do the scripture. Okay. strive to enter the straight gate, for many, I will say to you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut the door, he begins to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open up to us. And he'll answer and say unto you, I know not whence you are. Then you shall say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he will say to you, he shall say, I know you not, whence you depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. And that's not the same one, but that's the same comparison in Luke. But he still tells him to get away, you workers of iniquity. Well, it goes back to iniquity. Iniquity, if you look it up, it means being without law. Well, you go, well, what law? You know, a lot of New Testament people try to say that there's a new law given and Yeshua gave it in the New Testament. No, he didn't. If anything, he just clarified the Torah himself. But so it says being without law. But if you look up the word law, you'll find the root word to it is Torah. And if you look up what Torah is instructions for holy living. And that's what the Torah is. It's the instructions for holy living. So let's go back to iniquity. So what's iniquity? It's called being without the instruction or being without Torah. And so you cannot go on in these things because you will be cast out. You will be pushed off unless that you got to step out of sin. I say it every time on my radio
yes.
program. You know, he died and he was in the grave for 3 days and three nights. He died for your sins past, for the ones that you repented of.
Yes.
Going forward, yes, he'll forgive you your sins, but not intentional sinning. And if you studied the Torah, you'd know
right.
that. There's a lot of latitude given in the Torah about intentional sin and then an unintentional sin. Sin that you didn't know was sin. But once you know it and you have that knowledge of the truth that it's wrong, well, it's wrong, and I go ahead and do it because I'm forgiven. No, you're not going to be forgiven. You're going to go where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, just as the scripture says. That's what's going to happen to you. Back
you
to
know,
you.
That is the truth, folks. Forgiveness is not automatic. Okay? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we have to confess the sin. We have to mean business with the Lord. We need to repent, make a turn. We got to mean business. You know, we've said this before. You could catch someone in the midst of a bank robbery, and they've been caught. They may admit to it. They confess, hey, I was trying to rob that bank. That doesn't mean they've repented or they plan to change anything. They're just admitting a fact. And many people will be honest. Some will not. And they'll keep on doing it. That is not repentance. It means to turn, folks, to stop doing it.
Yeah.
And, of course, if you're trying to stop and you're continuing to fall in the same, you know, problem, you may need deliverance, okay? Deliverance is also available at the cross. Demons like to harass, torment, and drive people to continue things and keep people in bondage. Get set free. You know, someone, I don't know the name or the church, but Brother and Sister Catlin, someone in the chat earlier tonight said, there's another pastor of a mega church just committed suicide. He said, that's another one.
In California, I don't remember the name of it. I've seen it, and he just recently, if it's the same one, he just recently talked about losing his faith. And he's a big pastor of a mega church and has written some books on the subject. And for the record, I'm still happy Benny Hinn repented of the prosperity gospel. But I did find this, and I would really like to give this to the people because I just feel like I haven't left them with what they need. This is Matthew 7:23.
Yes.
It says, wherefore by their fear, okay, you ready for me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay. Wherefore by your fruits you shall know them. That's something very important, folks. We look at their fruits. Wherefore by your fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in that name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him as a wise man, which built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man that built his house upon the sand. Now the rock is Yeshua HaMashiach, and he is the Word made flesh. So how do we know the will of the Father? He talks, it's in the Torah. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, that's Yeshua. So the written Word, all of it, not just a little part of it, is the rock, is what we should put, is Yeshua, that we establish him on ourselves on him. He tells us what sin is. He tells us what iniquity is. It's written down there for us to see. And you know what? But I venture to say most of these people, especially Christians, you know, that go ahead and sin anyway, they already can feel it. If they are, you know, they can already feel, they know that they're doing something wrong. And if you feel like you're doing something wrong, you should very well better repent of it and, you know, test it. And you always have, and especially here in America, see, there's where my bigger problem is how hard is it to get a Bible in America? I mean, you know, yeah, the homeless, I get that and all that, but for anybody else that isn't homeless, you can go into a second-hand store and pick one up for a buck. Some second-hand stores will even give you one if you're going to a motel, like you pointed out. The Gideons, you know, are in the motel rooms. And by the way, since our last program, there was a lady, and if she's listened to us tonight, thanks again for those Bibles. She bought some of the Bibles you recommended.
Oh, excellent.
We got another case of them, and then she turned around and she sent another 10 that should be coming, and those are super great Bibles. It's the best paperback I've found. because it is a extra large print and they're just really good. But
let me ask you about that. That is fantastic. Folks, we're live with Pastor Dan and Linda Ketlin. If someone would like to give to the Mission Church and also support your radio show, The Prophecy Hour, how do people get involved and partner with you?
Okay, I'll tell you that. But if I can take a minute, I'd like to tell you a special program tomorrow about on Prophecy Hour.
Yes.
Pastor Carl Gallups will be back on radio with me tomorrow. He comes on once a month, and he's written like 9 books. He's really great author. But Pastor Carl Gallups is now he's a pastor of a big church, you know, Southern Baptist Church. He's a good old dude. But Pastor Carl Gallups was deputized by Sheriff Joe Arpaio and served on the posse that went after Obama's birth certificate. And they've got a bunch of great information coming out in another book at the first of the year. But tomorrow I'm going to nail Pastor Carl about it, Dan about it, because they investigated the Obama birth certificate and proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that the one online is indeed a forgery. And they even had other experts besides posse, that's what he is on, the posse, to examine a birth certificate, and they all came to the same conclusion. In fact, one of them was an Obama supporter, and then he looked at the birth certificate and indeed found out that it's a forgery. Nobody wanted to prosecute it. Okay, but there's a ton of other information that they have investigated and found out about who Obama really is. And I don't know how much I'll be, because now that there's an upcoming book, I'm not sure how much I'll be able to get out of him. And there's some things that even point back to, they know exactly who forged it, or what, we'll say what agency forged this. They have it tracked all the way back. And so that's going to be, you know, a special program tomorrow. And then last week, I had the guy on and wrote a new book called Free to the Mountains. But the previous week, the day after I talked to you, I did indeed have the man that made the video Finding the Mountain of Moses, which is the head of the Clairon Project.
Yes.
On my radio program. And so that's a dynamite program. And these are the kind of people that I have on, you know. And I do interview a lot of unknown authors to give them a chance, you know. And a lot of them, like Carl Gallups, I was the first radio program, first person to ever interview him over a book ever. And, you know, a lot of the guys are that way. And they went on, and so that's why they still come back. But, folks, if you want to listen to the Prophecy Hour, just go to
prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. All donation information, phone numbers, address, everything's found right over there at prophecyhour.com.
Okay, and tell them how they can donate.
You can donate online, over the phone, or by mailing a check or money order, or you can find all that information where? prophecyhour.com.
Right, and you can also find if you go to the pastor's page, when you go over there, there's a guy praying, you can see him, and you click on that. There's some special articles that I find particularly interesting as a pastor, and you can find links to radio programs and things like that at the pastor's page, and links to our Facebook page, you know, because we have a Facebook page, Messiah's Branch, and then we also have the Wichita Mission Church that's also on Facebook, and so we put updates over there and things. And
you know,
so you can find all that information out over there. Back
the best
to
way to give, folks, is give financially via PayPal at prophecyhour.com, and let them apply it where they need it. However, I've also wanting to test some of these products at Amazon, and those Bibles turned out good. Sister Linda, I sent some boxes of, they're called Genuine Joe Forks and Spoons, individually wrapped. How did those turn out?
They're kind of flimsy, but they'll work.
Okay, I wanted to get your feedback on it. I thought it would be kind of cool
that
they were
wrapped in plastic, but it's kind of a pain, but they'll work. We'll use them.
If you got them for a decent price, I mean, you got to remember, they're after one use, they're throwaway.
Sure.
And I'm with her. I like them wrapped up.
But we don't want them to step on them.
Yeah.
I mean, are they so flimsy that they'll break if you're trying to fork some food?
No, they won't break. They'll bend.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, they just bend. They don't break.
They won't break. They'll bend.
I will
but they'll work. They're just going to eat with them, right? So they don't. It's not like they're eating T-bones.
You don't wash them and reuse them, right? You just throw them away. So, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to know. Some of
the
stuff I don't know until we order and try it. How about the peanut butter? What's the quality of that?
It's about gone.
You want some more?
They like the peanut butter. Yeah, that's
gone.
A blessing.
You know, I found this.
I think there's six left.
Okay, so on Amazon, they have a brand called 365 Organic Creamy Peanut Butter, unsweetened, no salt. I thought that was interesting. And we sent just about a dozen of those over just to test them out and see how it worked. Now, we also found a good deal on some sleeping bags. You're going to give me feedback on that?
I showed the man the bag and gave it to him that we were waiting on. He said he hadn't slept in it yet. He thought it was a really good bag and he should know. But I told him go sleep on it and he should be there at the church on Friday, cause he comes in and helps me once in a while in the kitchen. And so he'll tell me if he really liked it on Friday, but he was ecstatic over it when I gave it to him.
And I did have somebody request crunchy peanut butter. So if they do have crunchy, that must work. I have requests for both kinds, though. So.
You know, and we don't know until you test it out because some of the stuff, sight unseen, it may be crap. Other stuff may be a good deal. Like the Bibles, that turned out to be pretty good. That's a great deal, actually.
Yeah.
Folks.
I love them.
The best route is just send money, and they can pick up stuff where they need it on the ground because over the years, y'all found out where to really get some good deals, haven't you?
Yeah, amen. And let's go to my wife. She knows how to shop. She knows where to get, you know. And so, yeah, amen. That's a big help.
I do numbers.
Yeah. She, you know, even when Omega Man, Shannon, even when we were together, this girl would count down to the pennies in my pocket. Well, you ought to have 59 cents left. Right? Well, I got 58. Is that okay? No, where'd that other penny go?
That's good.
Yeah.
You're a good accountant.
I'm really good with numbers.
Hey, something else that I thought about, you know, we got people that we're talking about here that are actually living outside. It's going to get cold pretty soon. Has it started to get any cooler there as we're moving into September now?
The evenings and nights are getting cooler, but the days are still hot. We're in Kansas, so yeah, this is the time of year everybody gets sick.
Actually, it is, and there's a good point. You mentioned sick. Okay, I already got, here's something that we do that nobody else does in the city. We give over-the-counter medications, cough syrup, Benadryl,
Ibuprofen.
Band-Aids. So on and so, but not so much about the Band-Aids, but over-the-counter cold medications, decongestants and things like that, things that you can buy. We've usually purchased at the dollar store and, you know, for a buck a shot.
Yes.
And so we give them that. And nobody else, you know, gives those things out. Cough drops was the one that I was coming up on. I had a fellow come in and he asked me, he said, Pastor Dan, you get any cough medicine yet? I said, no, I haven't even started to get that stuff yet. But I had a big bag, I don't know where that came from. I looked over, there was a big bag of cough drops there in my medical, can, so to speak, big brass pail that I keep it in. And, so I gave him, you know, a couple of handfuls of cough drops and he was really thankful for it. But you imagine that, you know, folks, we're entering into flu season, you know, nobody likes the flu, but you get it and you're at home. Well, you cover up more, you get you some tea or, you know, nice and warm and cozy and maybe, you know, get you some soup. What if you're sleeping outside and you can't even get something to get away with your headache or your cough and your hack?
You can't even lay down.
And so on. So, you know, we try to fill the gap with things that other people don't give out. And, of course, it also gives opportunity for prayer with these people when they ask for those medications and say, well, can I pray for your, you know, I'll give you this, but I want to give you a prayer, too. And so you try to remember and get a prayer with everybody. Sometimes you're just so overwhelmed by all the people and things. It's hard to remember everything, but, you know, we try.
And here's the clue. Is I know it's getting cold outside. It's because Tuesday I put two bags that was nothing but sweaters. We got a donation from a
I think they were both
garage sale leftovers, but two big bags of nothing but sweaters and jackets. And then on the end, those, that lady brought those boxes. Those boxes were coats and jackets. I put those in the clothes closet. They were almost, all of them were almost gone. So I know it's cold at night because they're already taking them.
Right.
So we need winter clothes. We need anything to help keep you warm. They'll take it already. They're sleeping outside. And the shelters don't open until November 1st. No matter if it gets down to 30 below 30 or freezing, they will not open their doors until November 1st.
Right. And that we're talking about the overflow shelters, which we've acted as overflow shelter. And they didn't used to open at November 1st. It didn't open up till in December, but it wasn't until we started doing 2 months. We did them going into before they opened and coming out of. And so after we showed them up and even had social services ask them why they like to be at your place instead of on the street, you know.
Yeah, because anyway, they used to just open December, January, February, and then they now they open November, November, December, January, February, and March.
So we did, so what we did was November and March. And we put them right on the floor on blankets and they were happy to be there. And of course, there's another thing, blankets of any sort. Back
folks,
to you.
You can really make a difference in someone's life. By the way, I just found that, organic creamy peanut butter in Crunchy. Just sent you 10 cans.
That's cool.
And,
well, amen.
Folks,
and now that they find out that we're giving it out, it will pick up.
Yeah, we'll
quick.
Get more because I used to not be able to keep peanut butter. We used to, everybody that got food would from the food banks, they'd bring their peanut butter. We used to have shell, I mean, 10 or 15 jars at all the time on the shelf, but then people found out we was giving it out and we just couldn't keep it. So imagine that'll happen again.
I was trying to think, if I had to live on the street, I would probably want a pair of those ski pants that have pockets. A good pair of all-weather shoes, and you're going to need a nice jacket to keep you warm and probably a poncho over that for the rain. In other words, you need some gear to live outside. But yet, people piece together whatever they can, I imagine. You probably see people coming in with all kinds of things, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because they can't keep things. It's hard for them to carry their stuff around, and then when they do find somebody, finds it and steals it and throws it in the dumpster.
Well, you know, here's something. You know, you have people that will come in, and even in the summer, you know, it'll be a nice day, and it's all of a sudden rain, you know, so they ask, you know, they always ask for, you know, you can get them pretty cheaply, those, their ponchos that are in little plastic bags, you know,
right.
And just cover them.
We've given out a bunch of those.
We give out a bunch of those, but the point is though, if you don't have that, they say.
I give out black trash bags.
That's what I was going to say. They'll say, if you got a big trash
I've
bag.
I've given out those a lot of
and,
times.
You know, they put a hole in the top and they put their head through it, you know what I mean, and arms and so they
yeah,
go
we got
off.
Trash bag people walking all over town, but I did it a bunch of times. I'd give out black trash bags a bunch.
Did
yeah.
I ever tell you about the story of the time the U.S. Border Patrol? Right there at Otay Mesa, along the border of San Diego, saw this skinny white boy coming over from Mexico with no raincoat and trash bags wrapped around my feet, and he took compassion on me, gave me a black Glad plastic bag. I have to tell you about that one another time. It worked.
Yep.
It kept me dry for a
yeah,
mile walk to the Maxell Corporation. Those were some hard times, but trash bag worked. That for another show. Let me ask you this too. Something was occurred to me the other day. When you got no transportation, a bicycle can come in handy. Do any of the people there need bicycles to get around?
You can as many bicycles as I could get. I could give away if that
yep.
tells.
We
you
used to have somebody that would piece together bicycles and give them away. We couldn't keep enough bicycles. Yeah, they come as fast as we get them. They go out. So yeah, bicycles.
Are,
and here's
somebody,
a kicker: something that you need not to interrupt, Kenneth.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is a good bicycle lock.
Oh,
you know,
oh, yeah,
heavy duty. Lock. They ask for those things too. Some people
okay.
that have bikes, but yeah, we could give away bicycles.
Didn't you mention that there was somebody that had like a bicycle car that they came in there and had like a trailer behind it?
Yeah, we've had a few of those come.
Yeah, in fact, you know, at least one or two a day come in that pull a little trailer behind their bike, and you know, or usually the one guys are always waiting on me.
And
like
we
that.
Had one guy, we had one guy that helped out at the mission for a couple of years that had converted an old shopping cart into a pull behind wagon that he hooked up to his bike, and he had a little cart that he pulled with his bike, and all everything he owned was in that cart, and he drove it all over town.
I'd like to see some people sponsor some bikes. What kind would you get them? A 10-speed or
no, just a
BMX
just a normal
or what?
Bike. Just a full-size normal bike. That would be my suggestion. They're cheaper. It's cheap to do it, and you ain't got the mechanics that'll break down, you know, if you get them 10-speeds and all that fancy stuff. And a 10-speed is more likely to be stolen. And so on and so forth. So they make some good sturdy bikes. You can buy them at Walmart or in different places. You don't need all the fancy stuff, you know. And they'll use them to get back and forth to work and all around. Back
you know,
to
speaking
you.
Of which, the next time you're at Walmart there, if they have those bikes, get a price check on it for me. That might be the easiest thing to do is you buy them right there, then try to ship them in. Save shipping costs from Amazon.
You can remember that. Now, listen, you can remember this. So, yeah, a lot of things, especially at Walmart, if it's over like $50 or something, they give free shipping. And if so, you know what I mean, then, you know, the shipping isn't an issue, and you have them delivered right to our house or Walmart pickup. Now, we also do that. You're also in the age that at Walmart, you know, you can – you know, you can mark well store pickup and you can go by there and pick it up. So if the person gets a hold of me, we can make an arrangement where it's the easiest and cheapest way to do it.
Folks, anything that you would need, they need. And I want to encourage you to support Messiah's Branch. Before we close tonight, again, happy birthday, Sister Linda, to you. And Brother Dan sent me a picture of those tacos. It made me hungry. You don't know how to cook over there.
Yeah, we have those every Thursday night.
That shredded cheese looks good.
At home, I normally make hamburger ones, but I make steak or chicken or hamburger. But Thursday at home after radio is always taco night.
Now look, that wasn't just a little tiny portion. Y'all really spread that shredded cheese on. That looked good.
Yeah. Okay, we're looking at the bicycles. You can get them as cheap as $46.25 at Walmart. No, that's Home Depot. Free shipping. IMAX Katie bike. See it? $46.25. And they'll ride those. They don't care as long as it's got two wheels. They can ride them.
Right.
And if you could, can you give me that name again? What's it called? An IMAX?
I'll send it to you.
Okay, send me a link.
I'd like to
do an experiment.
It was at Home Depot.
Sponsor somebody for a bike down there. Once again, to tune into your radio show, which website do they go to?
Prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com.
Right. If you actually want a link to the, you'll find links to our YouTube pages, and you'll find links to branch.podomatic.com. That's branch.podomatic.com. If you go there, you'll find all our radio archives, or I'd say about 80% of them. But if you go to prophecyhour.com, there's links for everything that you need to know about the ministry. Listen to us, all of it.
Fantastic. Brother, Sister Catlin, we love y'all. Sister Linda, anything else you'd like to add?
Yes, I would. We're getting ready to do another newsletter, and if you want to help out with that, you can send postage. That always helps. Get it out. Yeah. Do you got paper and ink and all that?
I could use $100 for some paper and ink really bad, and I'm planning on doing, and I just told him earlier today, because I'm going to send it over to him. I'm going to do it Monday, because that's the day that I have free for that. But Monday I'm doing a new newsletter, and I'm going to send it over to Shannon. But we need it right now, because this newsletter is probably one of the most critical of the year, because right now we're getting ready to go into, you know, all of the holiday seasons.
Right.
And people become more giving during the holiday seasons, and they need to have their bell rung and know that we're still there and then what we need. And so I really need to get this newsletter out fast. I could use $100 for some postage. $100 for ink and paper. And how much do you need for postage?
I need 140, I think, 142.
So that's what, $100 for postage?
I think it's 50 cents postage. I don't remember.
About six. So we need about $160 to make the newsletter work. That's what we need.
Folks, go to
Prophecy Hour. I usually buy them 20 or 30 at a time, so.
Prophecyhour.com. You can give right there. I've got about 1,000 people that have accumulated over a couple years on the mailing list. Not too many compared to some, but I praise God it's growing bit by bit. And so when you send me that, I'm going to blast it out to everybody on that list. Of that,
amen,
maybe 25% even open the email. But we're doing all we can. And, you know, we do the magazine like that. We send it out. It's out there. And we're putting it out on YouTube. Folks, get the word out. You know, Messiah's Branch, ProphecyHour.com, MegamanRadio.com. We don't have advertising budgets. We rely on word of mouth. Get the word out. Get on over to ProphecyHour.com tonight and tell a friend about it. Put it up on your Facebook wall. Share the ministry of Brother Dan and Linda Catlin and be a part of it. They've got great radio shows. They've got a real mission going on for many years there in Kansas. They're the real deal, and they're making an impact out there. So I'll do what I can to help. Folks, that's all God asks us to do. Do what we can to help. And God will bless us. Love you both. Thank you for staying up late for me, and we'll see you next time.
All right,
God,
you be blessed. Goodbye and shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom to you. Friends, prophecyhour.com. And if you would like to get their mailing address, you can also get it there, and you can coordinate with them via email on where to ship anything you'd like to drop ship to them. In terms of the fastest way to give, go right to their website. Give on PayPal. They'll put it where they need it. They're open twice a week there, feeding the poor and homeless. And they do the radio shows. They're really a light in the darkness.
I've got a story to tell you, a message to deliver in song. If you'll give an ear to these words I sing, compassion for the lost will grow strong. As I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their souls and they don't know. The Bible says they're walking in darkness, they cannot see the road that they're on. Broad-ended entices them with pleasures, and further down that road they are drawn. And as I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their souls, they don't know. Day we have is one more chance to snatch a soul from entering hell. But don't you know these evil days are numbered? So get to work and do your job well. And as I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. Soon to lose their souls, they don't know. Now you've heard this message that was on my heart. Now don't forget we haven't much time. The vineyard ripe, the field is wide, the workers are few, and the harvest time is now in its prime. As I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their soul. They don't know. They're soon to lose their soul. They don't know.
time of creation, God ended his work after 6 days and rested on the seventh day. At that time, he blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, made it holy. The fourth commandment, written in stone by the finger of God, states that the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord and instructs us to rest on that day. The only honest conclusion that can be drawn is that Sunday, the first day of the week, cannot possibly be the Sabbath. Could the days of the week have been changed over time? Is the time from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown really the seventh day? A careful study of chronology reveals that even though calendar changes have occurred, the order of the days of the week have stayed the same. The Julian calendar, originating in 46 BC, was replaced with the Gregorian calendar in 1582. What took place is that 10 days were taken from the number of the days in the month, not the number of the days in the week. Friday, October 5th, became Friday, October 15th. Calendar changes did not alter the days of the week or the order of the days. One must also remember that it is only necessary to check the calendars back to the time of Christ. He certainly knew which day the Sabbath was, for it was Jesus who created all things and instituted the observance of the Sabbath day. Yes, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts.
For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.